great tone. Everyone can tell what it is, but how do you get it? With so many styles of music, with new gear coming out almost daily, what's the secret to great tone? Welcome to the Flow Guitar Enthusiast Radio Show, where we talk about tone, what it is, and how to get it. With your hosts, Jeff Floro and Scott Sill, we will talk to the creators of tone, the manufacturers, and the players, as we explore tone and the gear that gets it.
Tonight on the Flow Guitar Enthusiast, we welcome the mastermind behind Zex Coil Pickups, Scott Lawing. With Scott, we also have Andy Fuchs from Fuchs Amps, Hal Hinkle in studio, and Night Bob, the road manager of Steely Dan. All three of these accomplished industry titans are avid fans of Zex Coil Pickups. Flow Guitar Enthusiast is proudly sponsored by Sweetwater Musical Instruments and Pro Audio at www.sweetwater.com. And now here are your hosts, Jeff Flotadizzo Floro and Scott Sill.
Good evening, everybody. Welcome to the Flow Guitar Enthusiast Radio Show. We have a great show for you tonight. Scott, how you doing over there?
I am doing good. So I did a couple things that was pretty cool over the weekend. I actually went to a Victor Wooten bass clinic yesterday down in Hollywood, which was super cool. I'm not really much of a bass player. I'm a guitar player that plays bass, so I don't play bass. I just know what the notes are in four strings. But he is really a fantastic person to go see, whether you play bass or not, because he's got some really good advice for you. And I recommend anyone to go catch one of his clinics if he comes to your town.
Yeah, he's a killer musician. Player. Yeah, he's a great musician overall anyway.
Yeah, and I just wanted to also announce to our listeners that we have a new giveaway that we're doing for next week's show with Billy Sheehan and Richie Kotzen from the Winery Dogs. We're going to be giving away a hot tone metal distortion pedal called the Whip. And then also along with that, a Samson Meteorite USB condenser microphone. So we'll announce the winner for that next week. So make sure you go to flowguitarenthusiast.com to sign up for that to win.
Yeah, and if you check out our Tracy Guns interview, we had some of the hot tone, the little pedals.
Yeah, I can't remember if the Whip was there, but this is their super metal one.
And also, too, in Guitar Player magazine, they're mentioned in there. They have a big article about the hot tone in the last one of their pedal issue, which was kind of cool. These guys are just little dinky little pedals, but they got the sound. They're really cool.
And if you don't win, our good friends at Sweetwater just picked them up and are selling hot tone pedals at their fine establishment.
Yeah.
So definitely check those out. They are super cool. So you can have like 16 pedals and bring out an airport.
But check out our Tracy Gunn show. You can hear them. They brought about four or five of them, of the different pedals, plus their little mini amp, which was kind of cool too.
Yeah, and then I just wanted to also confirm that lock down Marco Mendoza. Jeez, McGrees, I am really missing up words today. Marco Mendoza from Black Star Riders and Thin Lizzy. So he's the bass player for them. He'll be in studio playing bass.
When do we have a date?
June 30th. So we had him on. We had him on like a couple weeks ago for only like 10 minutes or something like that. So we'll have him actually in studio for a whole full hour with his bass.
Oh, that'll be great. Yes, that'll be fun.
What have you been up to, Jeff?
Well, this week, actually, I've been doing my homework after last week we had Bobby Osinski on. And I posted something up there, everybody. If you're on Facebook, take a look at it. It was an article about the change in the record industry and how things have changed over the millennium. And it basically said everything that Bobby had told us. So I shared it with him and I posted it on our site. And I've been looking at all of the, I've been reading going into more depth into his other book on the social networks. So I've been doing that. And then also, too, this week I've been doing a lot of playing on that Flowcaster, which has the Zex coils, and I have it here today. And those pickups are just a killer. I mean, I've been using high gain amps when I was messing around with it, and no hum. And in this room, too, we're going to put them to the test. Because here in the studio, there's fluorescent lights, which are like deadly for guitars. And even the guitars we have here tonight, they're clean. You're not hearing any buzzing.
It's on now.
Yeah. It's on now, and it's there's nothing. It's clean.
Maybe we ought to play the Tracy Gunn spot when we get done with this. And when you hear the beginning of that spot start, guys, that's what happens if you don't have a Zex.
Yeah, he had a Tele. Or a broadcaster, I think it's the single pick, or Esquire broadcaster.
Awesome guitar, but,
really nice, but It was buzzing because of the fluorescent light. His guitar is great. No offense to his guitar at all. It was a killer guitar. And it's brutal in here with these fluorescent lights. So it was kind of cool. But you can hear it. Yeah. I'll play that spot. But anyway, why don't we take a break right now, and then we'll start right into, because we got some interesting stuff and a bunch of interesting people here. So we will be right back. Take a listen to this.
Hi, Kenny Burgle here, one of the many guitar freaks at Sweetwater. We're proud to support the Flow Guitar Enthusiast Show. We're also freaks about customizing our guitars. So Sweetwater carries a crazy number of pickups and tuning machines, necks and pick guards, all the guitar and bass components to make your acts exclusively yours, and the Guitar Pro Shop if you prefer a pro install job. All these options are online at sweetwater.com or call us at 800-222-4700 to speak to a professional guitar enthusiast directly. This week, the Flow welcomes Scott Lyne, maker of Zex Coil pickups and founder of Lyne Musical Products. Also noted musician Hal Henkel will be joining the fray. Most guitar players have dreamed of swapping out pickups at some point. Scott and Hal have some great help and tips on pickup selection and customizing. So dig this week's Flow and be sure to check us out at sweetwater.com or call us at 800-222-4700. Thanks for listening. This is Kenny Burgle and Sweetwater saying rock on with the Flow.
Hey, this is Tracy Guns, and right now you are listening to the Flow Guitar Enthusiasts Show with Scott and Jeff and Andy and Tracy, and we're all here partying and going nuts. Anyways, this is the only guitar show I know of that you get to listen to guitar players and manufacturers talk about the cool stuff, and you can call in and talk to them, and you're going to have a good time.
Welcome back. I want to officially introduce Scott Lyne from Zex Coil Pickups. Scott, how are you doing?
Oops.
How are you?
Doing good. Good to have you on. So, well, let's just get started and tell us, about your pickups. What do you do differently in your pickups that what you would normally see from all these other different pickups that are out there? How do you separate yourself from them?
Well, there's two basic things that I'm doing that are different than pretty much everybody else. One is it's a one coil per string design. So for, most electric guitars, six string guitars, we have a six coil pickup, and it's hum canceling in two pairs of three. So the high strings are one wind orientation and one magnetic polarity, and the low strings are the opposite. So you get just natural hum canceling. Every coil is working to collect tone, but, you just balance three coils against three. So you get, just nice, efficient, noiseless performance that way. No extra stuff in the circuit, no dummy coils or shielding or anything to try to make things more quiet. And then the other thing that I do that was really kind of necessitated by that design is I use a lot of different materials as pole piece materials, and it's really through engineering, really, of the pole piece that I derive my tones.
Now, you don't use al nickel, which is commonly used on a lot of pickups.
I found that I couldn't. If you see a picture of our pickups, or you see one for real, the bobbins are basically on an angle with respect to the string, so the pole pieces are slanted with respect to the string. And the reason that is because the downfall of this kind of design, and it's, you can think of it the same way you think of, like, a two-coil design, like, who does it? Novak does it, I think, for Tele Bridge pickups, and there was that Fender Super 55 that came out a couple of years ago, and, the downfall of that kind of design is there's a magnetic dead spot between the D and the G string, so especially in the bridge, you can get away with it usually because the string never translates away from the pole piece because it's so, it's so close to the pivot point at the bridge. But at the neck, it's really a killer. You bend a G-string up on the neck, you'll be right up into that D pole piece. And if you have a magnetic dead spot there, you'll hear it, and your output will basically go as you bend through that zone. So the key to making it work is to get rid of that dead spot. So that's why the design looks like it does, and that was really the you know, that's one of the patentable ideas in our pickup. We have three utility patents and a design patent on it. And then, the thing about Alnico is that Alnico is, it's not a great magnet and it's not a real permeable material. So in that kind of configuration where it's fighting against itself magnetically, you know, I never really had dropout, but I always had some kind of signal loss and kind of weird, almost like a phasing kind of thing. But, you know, definitely some weirdness that you could hear in that region of the, you know, strings in the neck. And I just never felt good enough about those designs that I wanted to commercialize something like that. So I was always looking for a way to get those Alnico tones in my, you know, my format. And that led me down this path of just understanding what the materials do, and it really built a quantitative model that allows me to fingerprint what conventional pickups and conventional pole piece materials, you know, look and sound like, and then I can kind of mimic that in my design space, and then I can do a lot of things that, you know, you can't really do with the conventional materials. And, you know, you think about what people use for pickups. For pole piece material specifically, it's, you know, it's really just a handful of materials. It's, you know, steels and Alnico alloys almost exclusively. And that's a pretty narrow section of what's possible, really.
Scott, I have a question for you. We've all heard that, you know, when, like, especially with humbuckers, and you can actually hear it with a standard humbucker, for the noise canceling properties, you usually sacrifice that top end. How do you get around? Because your pickups, I put them on the Flowcaster, and it spanks. It has that real crisp sound. But how do you do that? How were you able to do that and still have the hum canceling?
Well, I think there's a couple things. You know, it's not hum canceling necessarily that makes humbuckers sound like they do. It's the steel pole pieces. You know, I mean, steel is a pretty lossy material in terms of eddy currents. And, you know, really the physics of what's going on in the pole piece is really all about eddy current, you know, loading, if you will, and stuff that is more kind of eddy current heavy ends up sounding like a humbucker, and stuff that is, you know, where eddy currents are almost insignificant is the stuff that ends up sounding like, you know, Alnico 5, real open and clean. So, you know, I think there's two things. One, it's the pole piece, and the way you get those tones is by, you know, finding materials that have that real clear, you know, like a high Q is one way to think about it, response. And the other thing, I think, is in terms of, you know, how you cancel the hum design-wise, you want to minimize loss. So, you know, a stacked noiseless pickup is pretty lossy because that bottom coil is just, you know, dead weight, really, as far as tone goes, anyway. And all you're trying to do is really just minimize what it sucks out, you know, and it's not adding anything. And in my design, you know, there's nothing redundant. And also, you know, each string is being picked up discreetly, so you're not canceling hum and collecting string signal at two different polarities, right? You're canceling hum by canceling strings against other strings that aren't really associated with that coil, but they're generating anti-phase noise relative to each other. It's a few things. You know, I honestly wish I could tell you I knew exactly why, but, you know, in some respects, I think I just got lucky.
So using a dummy coil like a standard humbucker, that's a lossy system?
Oh yeah, I mean, it's, you know, it's a big honking element in that circuit, right? It's a lot of inductive. It has to be, because it's got to pick up the same noise signal as the pickup, and that's you know, that's a pretty hefty sensor in that circuit. So, you know, it's a lot of resistance, it's a lot of inductance, it's changing the response of the circuit, and it's, you know, it's not really doing anything positive for you in terms of tone. It's just getting rid of noise.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, I think, you know, you want to minimize, and you know you can see that kind of stuff in the frequency response too. If you look at the frequency response of a stacked pickup, it's kind of you know, it looks muted compared to a conventional pickup or compared to one of our pickups.
So, Scott, so one of the things I was seeing you were discussing is that you you had kind of enhanced the bridge pickup for a Stratocaster, or really for a bridge pickup for any kind of a guitar. Can you talk a little bit about that quickly? And then, you know, we've got Hal in here in studio, and I think we should start hearing some of these pickups.
Sure, yeah. Well, you know, I mean, that was one of the early things that I felt like I was doing that was different, and really, you know, that was actually something we were highlighting a lot before we developed the real good Alnico-like tones, because, you know, we didn't have those Alnico tones, so we had to focus on what we did have. But, yeah, I mean, some of those, like a Strati bridge pickup with some bite, you know, you kind of take a material that totally looks like Alnico, but it's beefier, you know. So as an example, like what I do in our SV5, which is our Stratiest, you know, most kind of, you know, glassy pickup, is a lot different material-wise from what I'm doing in the 5 Plus, which is this kind of Alnico on steroids approach. So it's really kind of a way of, and, you know, it's one of those things that you can't do with regular Alnico because, you know, that SV5 Plus pole piece material just kind of pushes the response into a regime that you can't get to with Alnico. It just, you know, just doesn't do that. So, you know, we can get a real kind of authentic Alnico 5 tone, but we can also take that Alnico 5 tone and kind of, you know, twist it around a little bit and screw around with it more than you can with the conventional set of materials.
Well, I want to bring on here in studio, we have Hal Hinkle. I just want to bring him on officially. And then actually on the phone also, I just want to also mention we do have Andy Fuchs and Night Bob on. So if you guys want to pop in when you guys start hearing any these pickups and you just want to submit any of your thoughts and feelings into those, please do. And then we'll talk more to Andy and Night Bob later in the show. But Hal, can you kind of give us a little bit of a background and then tell us about the guitar you're going to play and the pickup that you have in there?
I'm Hal Hinkle. I'm a studio guitarist and composer here in Los Angeles. I work at Hollywood Way Studios over in Burbank here, and we make a lot of hit records with a lot of people. I got introduced to these pickups through Glenn Sweetwood from Sweetwood Guitars, who was kind enough to send down a brand new guitar called the Super Sport to try out.
Yeah, I don't know if the audience can hear it, but do what you were doing before. Can you smack the top of that and get that kind of that A sound off of the, it's a really unique sound off this guitar.
This is a Paduic topped guitar, and marimbas are often made from Paducs. I thought, gee, I'll just give this thing a tap on the top. And it turns out the top is tuned roughly to A. Almost exactly in tune.
It's really cool.
I think it was coincidental. I haven't had a chance to talk to Glenn about it. But just a really sweet little guitar, as his name implies, and I really enjoy playing his instruments. They're beautifully made, and they're great to look at, and they sound wonderful.
Yes.
So
yes.
I met Scott at NAMM Show and mentioned to him that I'd be interested in trying them because they seemed unusual. And I found that in years of experimenting with all kinds of noise-canceling single-coil pickups, there was always something lacking in the tone range. And the dynamics and the response in these Zexcoil pickups were light years beyond the other ones that I tried. I was pretty stuck on a particular brand that's often used in the Eric Clapton Fender guitars because they're noise-canceling and they do sound good, but these sound really exceptional. There's a breathiness to them and a cleanliness and a bandwidth to them that was unexpected. And when I took the white Fender-style, Stratocaster-style guitar on tour this spring, I had many people approach me and tell me how great the guitar sounded, and many of these were people who don't know anything about the guitar.
Yeah.
So it was obvious to me we had something special on our hands.
And you have that guitar here.
Yes, I do. Yeah, I'm going to play that next. I'm going to start with the Sweetwood, and then we'll move to some Strat tones. I'm going to keep it clean for right now, so I hope you enjoy this. Full of fluorescent lights and microphones and a variety of digital devices and cameras that are operating now that typically would generate 60 cycle hum. I'm not hearing any of it. Very full and very glassy sounding. Wonderful.
Yeah, Scott, can you tell us a little bit more about the pickup as he's using there?
That's the new Sweetwood.
That's correct.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
That is a TVS, which is basically that SV5 Plus kind of tonal approach we were just talking about. That's what that is. And that's, you know, just kind of like a really beefed up, but not quite into humbucker territory, but just like a really thick Alnico 5 single coil kind of tone.
So just for demonstration, since I'm videoing this, Hal, can you just pull your hands off the strings and just, let's just hear it. It's quiet.
Deadly quiet. Nothing there.
Hey, that's also one of our louder pickups, because with the Tele Bridge, we use a base plate, which is kind of like a hum antenna.
This is at full output now. I just turned the guitar up.
It's part of the tone, you know? I mean, that extra steel on the bottom of a Tele is really part of the magnetic circuit, and you can't really get those kind of twangy, those juicy but twangy.
But go ahead and open it up all the way.
There it is.
What's that?
Okay, now we're hearing a little bit, but technically you should go ahead and touch the fretboard with your hand while that thing's open all the way. Because don't you have to ground it?
I will admit that the TVS, any of our Tele pickups with a V in them are going to buzz a little bit. It's not hum, it's actually buzz.
Oh, okay, because I always taught that if you... Part of the way the guitar works, when you touch it, you ground it correctly. Mm-hmm. So if you just leave
that
this,
too.
Yeah.
But
so then,
as an example, you compare that bridge pickup to the neck pick. Oh, that guitar doesn't have a neck pickup.
No, it's a single pickup, which is why I chose this guitar.
Right.
Yeah.
That's the only the vintage voice Teles are the only ones that really make any significant noise at all, and it's because they have the bass plate, and we were willing to sacrifice that small amount to keep that tone. And you know, if you ever compared it, it's about like a regular humbucker level of noise.
Yeah.
Well, yeah. I mean, I don't even consider this noise, to be honest.
But now that you're touching, you're grounding it out. It's perfectly quiet.
The string itself is running right now.
Well, that pickup buzzes a little bit.
But what's really nice is how that actually has the actual spank and the sound of, you know, of a single coil.
Yeah, I've been getting some great Keith Richard tone. Check this out really quick. This is great.
Well, why don't we, speaking of the amp, why don't we have Andy Fuchs come on and tell us a little bit about this amp? And I'm not sure exactly which model of Fuchs this is.
ODS 100 combo.
Okay. Andy, can you tell us about that amp?
Well, the ODS 100 is basically been for about almost 15 years the flagship amp that we've manufactured. We started in 99. This has been a hobby of mine since I was a kid. I was real lucky. From the age of 12, I had some pretty proactive friends of my dad that were sort of mentors to me that taught me the basics of electronics. And fortunately for me, it was at a time when they were still teaching, tube electronics, because they were older people. And between, the Radiotron Designer's Handbook, the RCA Tube Manual, a couple of Army and Navy instructional books that my dad and his friends had from the Korean War, I learned this dying art of vacuum tubes, which, you know, turned out to really be a blessing, because you really can't go to school for that stuff anymore. as much as you might find a lot of information now thanks to the internet, but if you try to look up online where you might be able to go to college or you know, any kind of a technical school to become an engineer that dealt with vacuum tubes, they'd probably laugh in your face. So I was lucky I got to learn that, and you know, over the years I serviced and modified, you know, thousands of amps for professionals, you know, all over the New York area. And when I finally kind of got down to business for myself, in my late 20s, I got married and actually got a real job outside the music business for a few years. And I sort of returned to this hobby of mine, you know, in the basement of my house. Built a couple of amps for myself, started to take them out on gigs, open mics and blues jams, and I was still at that time playing in the wedding field. So I was taking stuff out with me, and a lot of guys were sort of noticing, what I was using. They'd come over, you know, and they'd compliment my tone and want to know more about my equipment. And I'd, you know, say, well, I built that amp, and they'd laugh and they'd go, no, seriously. And I'd say, well, I built it. And the next question inevitably was, gee, can you maybe build one for me? So I kind of got busy doing that, and it was originally old Fenders and old Music Mans and old trainers that, you know, guys would bring me from pawn shops and music stores and later on, you know, eBay. And eventually, you know, the light bulb went on over my head, and I said, you know, why don't I just have a chassis made for me? And why don't I actually make an amp and put my name on it instead of people running around with, you know, amplifiers that have other people's names on them? Because somebody else is going to get credit for my work, I guess, in a way. So, you know, that's kind of how the basics of the business got going. The first few years of the business were a part-time thing. I was still going to work during the day. You know, working a regular job, and at night, you know, I still don't know how I did it now looking back, but, you know, I'd get up in the morning, go to work, come home, eat dinner, go down in the basement, get back in bed maybe 2 o'clock in the morning, and the next day I'd go back to work again. So for the first few years, it was a part-time enterprise. Eventually, you know, I reached a point in my life that I decided I needed to make a change. You know, the job had become stressful. By then I had a couple of kids and a mortgage and things like that. And I decided at that point, you know, I was going to dive into this thing full time. I had accumulated, enough back orders, and I had a little bit of money in the company bank account. And, you know, basically I said to my wife, I'm strapping on the parachute. Here we go. And, you know, from there it's grown to, you know, from the basement of my home where we've moved to a couple of different shops. We've settled, in our current shop. Which is in northern New Jersey near the Meadowlands, about 20 minutes west of Manhattan for those not from the area. And we've got a nice little space. It's 5,000 square feet. We have our offices there, and we manufacture our full line of amps, which is about 20 different models. We also manufacture a full line of pedals, which is also about 20 models. We also do speaker cabinets, and at the NAMM show next month in Nashville, we'll be introducing a bass amp and a couple of matching cabinets to kind of round out the whole lineup.
Nice. Now, you also do a lot of modifications too, correct?
Well, the modifications are sort of, you know, they're a mixed blessing for us. And, you know, they did build the business. They provided a very good means for us, you know, sort of a good platform or a test bed for experimentation. You know, I'd come up with a circuit, you know, whether it was in my own amp or something I was working on for a customer. And it was a good sort of playground for me to research different circuits and how they responded and how they sounded. And, you know, we've had a love-hate relationship with it because sometimes it overtook, you know, the production side of things and it tied up manpower. And other times we were thankful we had the mod work when the production side of things slowed down. Over the last maybe 2 to 3 years, we've introduced a lower-end amp line. You know, for many years, we were known for, you know, upper 2,000s to probably $5,000 amplifiers. That would be the ODS and the TDS series, which is the three-channel version of the ODS. And I started to recognize a trend. I would go out to an open mic or a blues jam or something before I was maybe not as well-known visually, I guess. And I would I'd take the cover off my fancy Fuchs on the bandstand, and you know, a couple of guys would come over and say, "Man, you know, those things are really great." You know, I was like, "Yeah, I know the guy who builds them; they're pretty good." And then the guy would say, "Yeah, man, but like my first car didn't cost that much money." And it started to come up enough times that I said, "I think, you know, the writing is sort of on the wall. We should really try and come out with something a little bit more affordable." That could offer, you know, if not exactly the same tones, similar tones to what we're known for. And thus was born the Casino series, which starts out with a little four-water, the four aces, and it tops out at something called the Wildcard 100, which is a 100-water. They're channel switchers with gain boost and a really good digital reverb in them. And the cool part is they start out at about $1,200 and they finish out at about $2,200. And I started taking those amps to jam sessions, and of course people would say the same thing, and I'd say, ah, but no, this is actually a whole lot more affordable than you think. And we've really done, that's probably the probably our most successful new product introduction since we started the business. The Blackjack, which is the middle of the lineup, is a dual 6 V6 amp. It's 21 watts. They all have the same feature set. They all share the same head and two different sizes of combo cabinet. They all share the same chassis and circuit boards, which gives us a really good economy of scale. Instead of using custom-made transformers, we're buying some off-the-shelf stuff, American-made, really high quality, but probably about half the price of what's in an ODS. And the other factor that makes them more affordable for us is that we've designed them to be much more quicker assembly when we build them, where an ODS can be, you know, 9 or 10 hours of hand wiring and assembly. A casino amp is probably about half that, so we can get them out a little quicker, and that's done well for us.
And you still build those line, here local? You still build them here in the U.S.?
We do, absolutely. We do have to source parts globally because there are certain things, unfortunately, we no longer make in the United States. But, you know, probably 80% of the dollar you're spending on that amplifier, barring, you know, things like knobs and, you know, certain capacitors and, you know, certain components in the amps, probably 80% or more of the money you're spending is still, you know, U.S. spent money on employees and you know, company overhead and the majority of the parts that are in the amps, you know.
That's great to hear. I mean, love to hear that when that's the case, for sure.
Well, we have definitely fought, you know, the suggestion that we try doing something in the, you know, the sub $1,000 range. You know, it's tempting. There are some companies that have done pretty well in that range of product, and I never say never. But at this point in time, you know, people are still willing to say, you know what, it's a little more money maybe than, you know, something I could buy in Guitar Center. But we have developed a generation of musicians, thankfully, that appreciate, you know, what these amps do that the average, you know, mass-marketed Vox or Fender or Marshall might not do.
Well, why don't we hear a little bit more? Let's see if we can do a little bit of demonstration on the amp. Maybe you can instruct Hal. I should mention Hal has now switched over to his Fender Strat with three Zex coils in it. I'm not sure which ones are in that one.
This is the high output set.
Oh, cool. So
love those pickups. I have them in my. I have two Sweetwood guitars with those pickups in them, and I also have a G&L Strat that has them as well. And I, you know, just as a side note, I met Scott, you know, through the business, Scott being Scott, he said, I really want you to hear my pickups. And I said, that's great. Why don't you get me a set and I'll let you know what I think. And a day later, a knock on the door, and Scott had driven up from Maryland and handed me a set of pickups and said, let me know what you think. And rather than ship them up, he went the extra step and actually brought them to me. And I've been a believer since. I mean, my three favorite guitars are using those pickups, Fender styles, of course, and I'm constantly complimented, as is Hal, by the tone that I get on gigs. Guys come over and say, that thing just sounds like a great vintage Strat, and it ain't buzzing like an electric shaver.
Yep. Well, let's hear a bit different the different tones from his from the Fuchs amp. Let's see what we can get with that.
I just wanted to make a quick comment towards Andy. I made an album in 2000 called Halcyon Blues that Vintage Guitar Magazine chose as their favorite album of the year, the writer John Haidt. And that album's really stood well over the test of time. I used the Fuchs ODS amp throughout the amplifier for many of the sounds. And it's been heard by millions of people worldwide. I really owe Andy a debt of gratitude for making my guitar sound so great and so outstanding from the other guitar players, because there are so many great players out there. Thanks, Andy. I really appreciate it.
Imagine how good it would have been if you were using Zex coils.
Well, we're on the way now, aren't we? It's something off Halcyon Blues. I call it Return of the Fury.
Very, very cool. That's really, really nice.
Level's a little better on that one?
It's a little hot. They're waving at me in the other control room. But it sounds good. We'll bring it down a little bit.
Wow, yeah, that sounded really, really nice. That's a cool song. Now, you said that was on one of your albums?
Halcyon Blues. You can find it. It's called Mrs. Hippie, MRS Hippie. Oh, sorry, that was Return of the Fury, my bad. You can find a free listen to it at Reverb Nation or on Facebook at haroldhankel.com.
Cool. Yeah, now I would like to just kind of bring I'd like to bring Night Bob on too, and just have him talk about some of his experience with Zex Coil and what he thinks of them. Are you on there, Night Bob? Bob?
Yes, I am. How are you, man?
How you doing? Yeah, can you kind of tell everyone a little bit about yourself, and then just kind of tell us how you got introduced to Zex Coil?
Okay. I'm celebrating 42 years in live performance as a sound engineer. And as a gear hound, a vintage guitar collector, blah, blah, blah. Currently working with Steely Dan, gearing up for a tour this summer of 55 shows, blah, blah, blah. And I met Scott and got introduced to Zex Coil pickups through Lou Reed's Guitar Tech, who came down to a rehearsal and said, check these pickups out, and we checked them out, and then we got a couple of sets, and then we got a couple more sets, and then we got even more sets, and now there's it's an exceptional pickup, I think, and I think the voicing, in the 40 plus years that I've been doing this, the voicing of the single coil pickups is the best I've ever heard, and they don't hum.
Yeah, I have to agree. I mean, Scott, now, what are you planning on doing? You do some sort of burst bucker sort of pickups. Are you planning on doing actual full-on burst buckers at all? Humbuckers, I should say, burst buckers. So.
Yeah, well, what we do right now is basically all based on the same bobbin because it's what we're tooled up with. And, we're getting a lot of critical acclaim, and, Bob, that was really nice. I don't think I've ever heard you say that quite explicitly, but I really appreciate that. Everything we're doing now is what we can do with that coil, and it's basically Strat-sized, Tele-Bridge size. We don't do a real Tele-Neck because you can't squeeze six coils into that narrow Tele-Neck. And then I'm working on kind of in late development on J-Bass pickups as well, but... One of the things, a couple things we're doing looking to the future is we're really trying to get our cost down so we can go through retail channels. You know, it's a complicated pickup and it's all custom stuff, so it's pretty expensive to make. And, we're doing okay making them ourselves, but, I'm kind of maxed out with production and everything else I'm doing. I really want to free my time up to do development, so we're trying to figure out how we can get our costs down and, like Andy was saying, still make our stuff in the United States, which we have a pretty clear path to doing. I think that's one of the next big things we're going to be working on. But, what that's going to do is free my time up to do the development that I haven't been able to do. And what I'm planning on doing with humbuckers and P90s is really try to use the same bobbin for a humbucker and P90 format so I can kind of maximize the bang for the buck there and use all the same material, pull piece material, voicing technology that we use in the single coil in a Strat and, Tele size stuff and just translate that to the humbucker format. And I've also got some, some different design ideas of some other things I'd like to try just to, kind of magnetic field shaping and that kind of stuff. But yeah, I mean, that's my next big development project. I just really, frankly, haven't had time to kick it off. So we need to kind of free my time up first, and then kind of get that stuff going.
So Night Bob, out of curiosity, with you touring, have you had any experience with anyone using one of these guitars playing like a big venue and with Zex Coil pickups in it, and just seeing a complete difference with it?
Oh yeah, I mean, I've had a couple of sets out on a couple of different tours over the past year and a half, and, in all kinds of situations, in high-gain situations where, if you're using single coils in incredibly high-gain amps, you better be really good at turning your volume control off, and, to in between songs. But we've had these pickups and strats and tallies, and it sounds really great. And no hum, no buzz. That's a boon for me. As an engineer, I've spent the last 40 years getting rid of hum and buzz from amplifiers and then recordings and things like that. And it's really nice to be able to plug into an amp and have, you know, the voicing of a response of a single coil pickup without the adjacent hum. And I'm talking like high gain amps, vintage Fender amps, tweeds, you know, amps custom made out of Bell and Howell film film projector amplifiers, and you know, custom made amps that cost more than a really fast car. And it's been a significant advance for me. My own personal guitarist, that's the only single coil pickups I use, or single coil voiced pickups that I use. Solves a lot of problems for me.
Well, I think it might be fun to have Hal go through maybe all three different pickups on his Strat, and let's hear those. Do it like a clean tone, and let's go through each one and just kind of let everyone know if you're going which we're going to, bridge, middle, or combination.
Well, let's work our way up. We'll start with the neck pickup. I hope I do this right, but I've been working this one up for you tonight, Bob. I hope you enjoy it.
Power signal's just overloading the phone, like.
Yeah, it comes in pretty screaming.
Sound like he was playing Bodhisattva, though, wasn't he?
It is a little loud.
That's the last thing I want to hear, I'll tell you that.
Yeah.
So that was the neck pickup?
That's a neck pickup.
I thought it was Won't Get Fooled Again.
Before you go away from the neck pickup, play it just softly and clean so they can hear how much frequency response, so it's not. Because if it was distorting, they'll lose it. Is that better?
Yeah, much better.
There we go.
Yeah,
that's a good
must
level.
Be my phone. What kind of mic is on that amp?
We're using a Audio Technica, and we're also recording on a ribbon mic from AEA.
Yeah, separately, so that'll be part of the video.
Yeah. So, but it was a little. It's loud in here, but I think that's a little better. You can hear a little bit. You can hear clearly when he's playing and when he goes into the middle strings and stuff. You can hear the clarity. I think that's important.
Yeah, let's go for
that.
Yeah, that string separation is unreal on these pickups. It's like in a variety. I mean, you can hear the notes of the chords even in extreme high gain amplifiers, which is really rare. That's what really knocked me out, because we tried these through 27 amplifiers at one point. And the imprint of the guitar came through on all these different amps, you know, and the voicing was spectacular. So it's like I said, it saved a lot of, for me personally, you know, for some of the guys I work with, some of them still, it's like they have Zex coil for stuff for some things, and then there's other times I'll go to some, like, you know, believe me, you know, you're not taking the P90 out of your 58 Les Paul Junior because of hum, so. They were, we deal with it, but I mean, I think this is a significant advance in guitar pickups. I really do.
Yeah, I have to agree. Well, let's hear the middle pickup now.
Thank you.
And now let's hear the bridge real quick.
Okay, bridge pickup.
Now, was that one of the bridge pickups, Scott, that you have kind of enhanced or a little bit hotter than normal?
I believe that is a Juicy Bucker, isn't it, Hal?
Sure sounds like it to me.
Hey, but that's the signature set in that guitar, I'm pretty sure?
Yes, it is.
Yeah, that's the Juicy Bucker, which also we do we call it the Silent Split. It's really a series parallel thing. So series mode, you go straight through all six coils. Parallel mode, you go in parallel through the two sets of three. So we just tap into the D and G coil so we can do that four conductor wiring. And that gives you, kind of gives you a single coily kind of sound, but it's still quiet because you're it's similar to parallel wiring a humbucker, but you're also still only picking the string up in one place, so it's not exactly like that.
So I have to ask, and I know you probably won't answer, but I have to ask, what is the magnet or the metal that you use for your pulls?
I'll tell you what the magnet is. Everything we do is Neo. So if you look on the bottom of his X-Coil, there's these, kind of rounded trapezoids, two little, nickel-plated plates on the bottom of the pickup. Those are Neo magnets.
So it doesn't add to the weight to your guitar either.
What's that?
Won't add to the weight to your guitar either.
No, but they're hellacious magnets, I'll tell you, man.
They're great for speakers,
too. Don't get your credit cards anywhere now.
Yeah, they're not easy to get either, too, but they use them a lot for speakers, and they're super, super light. They sound a lot like Al Nico.
Sure, yeah. Well, yeah, you get more strength per weight, definitely. But some of it's obvious. Like the Juicy Bucker was designed to be a humbucker, so... what do you use as a pole piece in a humbucker? Steel. So that Juicy Bucker pole piece is just a low carbon steel strip, basically.
Now, how do you, when you make your pickups, how do you assure that, the Zexcoil pickups that you make today are going to be the exact or, as close as they can be the same pickups that you make in, 6 months from now? How are you keeping that quality the same, not having those PAF sort of stuff where one's good and one's bad?
Yeah, that's a good question that actually I don't get a lot, but I'm an engineer. I actually have a PhD from Massachusetts Institute of Technology in chemical engineering, so I'm still actually teaching myself electrical engineering slowly. Basically, my industrial experience was in the semiconductor industry, which is, some of the highest level of process control you're going to find, anywhere. It's really, really advanced manufacturing. So, I learned all of that statistical process control, and I basically measure every pickup that we make with... Really, but the important things are the AC electrical parameters. Most of the DC measurements really don't mean all that much, but we basically quality control and statistically control every pickup that we make and compare it against the historical baseline. And if it doesn't pass, it doesn't chip.
And do you wind your pickups by hand or with a machine?
No, I actually don't wind the coils. I mean, one of the things with my pickups is the secret's really in the design. It's not, it's not like there's some kind of magic sauce you have to sprinkle on the coil wire, as you're winding it. They're all machine wound. I mean, if I was winding the coils, that would be all I was doing, because it's six coils for every pickup. So in fact, like what I was talking about before, I'm actually just the opposite. I'm trying to get out of you know, making pickups myself, because it's really not the secret isn't in the assembly. It's in the design. So I want to free my time up to do more, you know, more design work.
Well, we're coming to the end of the show. I think we're going to have Hal play, but before we do that, let's just go through with everyone. Start off with Night Bob, and then we'll go to Andy, and then end with you, Scott, and just kind of tell everyone where they can learn more about you and your products, and where people can get a hold of them.
Okay, yeah, it's zexcoil.com is our website. That's got pretty much everything you need. You know, we do a lot on Facebook, guitar forums, the gear page I frequent quite a bit, and the Fender forum, the Tele forum. Our YouTube site is a really good place for, you know, demo videos, and if you want to, you know, kind of hear, at least through computer speakers, what these things sound like, you can, you know, get a pretty good idea.
And Night Bob?
Night All Summer with Steely Dan. And I have a Facebook page, and I have a dead website right now that's being redone, the nightbob.com.
And Andy, how do they hear more about your amps?
You can track me down at Fuchs Audio, FuchsAudio.com, and that'll link you to both our amplifiers, pedals, modifications, and there's email links for tech support and sales and everything else. And we've got a pretty decent-sized global dealer network if you want to purchase a product as well.
Yeah, I should also mention that I personally have been enjoying some of the recent pictures you've been posting of some amps that are just either destroyed or I don't know what's happened to the inside of them. Like a capacitor just melted. It's been fun to watch.
Well, we've found just by looking at the web traffic and web stats that it seems like, particularly on Facebook and Twitter and things like that, that people seem to be eating up chassis pictures, whether they're mine or somebody else's. And, you know, in some cases, some of these amps are pretty frightening, and I try and be tactful. I don't post brand names or credit anybody. Sometimes people manage to guess. But it seems like that gets a lot of web traffic, and that's fine. It keeps getting us followers, and people know who we are and what we do. And we do post our own amps from time to time just to kind of show people where we set the bar, and it's kind of cool.
Well, we want to thank you, Andy. We want to thank Night Bob and you, Scott. And definitely want to have, you know, all you back on. And we'd love to do a show with you, Andy, and do one of all on Fuchs Amp sometime, too.
That'd be awesome.
And the effects are incredible if you haven't heard them yet. Best there is.
Well, again, thank everyone for coming on the show, and want to thank Sweetwater for sponsoring us, and make sure you check them out. We want to take us out, Hal, and we'll end it. And then if you guys could just hang on the phone after the show, we'll chat.
Yeah, we'll talk with you. And he's using the Flowcaster right now with the I think I have the vintage pickups in there for the tone.